Another Day in Paradise. It is the Great Reset on Grand Forks Best Source, everybody. And pardon my voice, but I seem to have lost it somewhere around Drayton over this past weekend. But it's the Great Reset. Executive Director David Waterman and Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislawski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. And your show today brought to you by Everett's Old School Cycles. You know, all you Harley Davidson owners out there, there is a place to get your Harley worked on, Everett's Old School Cycle. You know, Everett's is the only PhD-certified Harley-Davidson tech in the area and your one-stop shop for welding and machining, tires, oil changes, adjustments, tuning, and service. You know, Everett's is also a drag specialty and biker's choice dealer, along with Midwest, V-Twin Manufacturing, Dynojet, Jim's Dealer, Tab Exhaust, Amsoil, and Lucas Oil Dealers, too. Everett's can get all the parts you need directly from Harley-Davidson. And, oh, by the way, they'll pick your bike up, too. Treat your Harley the way it should be treated by going to Everett's Old School Cycle. Call them up, 701-772-3232. Well, if you have any questions or comments for Dr. Dan or David, our number is 701-213-0863. Of course, this show not on Facebook or YouTube, but you can go to gfbestsource.com, click to listen now. It's live. If you want to chat, just click the Twitch link in the upper left corner, and our Rumble link is posted on the GFBS Facebook page. So there is a way without Facebook and YouTube. Before we get too much further into the show, time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. What do you call someone who's vaccinated against chickenpox and monkeypox? What do you call someone who is vaccinated against chickenpox and monkeypox? Tupac Secure.
It's a good one.
Oh, thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you. A couple of things to go over. VAERS numbers, same as last week. August 3rd was the last time they said anything. 15,799 deaths from the vaccine. I see the CDC now has dropped quarantining, meaning if you have, COVID, you don't have to stay 6 feet away anymore. You don't have to quarantine anymore. Pfizer, new Pfizer documents and real-world data now showing jabs are already causing mass depopulation. I don't have all the numbers there. I was reading it earlier today. Cruise lines are dropping vaccination mandates. That's a good thing. What else we got here? Oh, there are two cases of monkeypox in North Dakota. Let's see what else. City Council, limited speaking time at their big meeting last night. They're getting sick and tired of concerned citizens having anything to say. So they're going to change each speaker's time limit from 3 minutes to five, which they're going to give them a couple of more minutes. But they're going to do this at the beginning now, and they're going to be able to kick people out and do whatever they want. What else we got here? I see legalizing cannabis or marijuana made it to the election coming up. I don't know, maybe that's good for some of you. Maybe that is not good for some of you. And one of the things that we saw Fargo School District or School Board dropping the Pledge of Allegiance before their meetings now, I think that's a bunch of crap. I know Senator Scott Meyer from Grand Forks is against this, and so is our Governor Doug Burgum. I know Scott Meyer brought up the fact, and I think this is a brilliant idea. Funding, if you want to pull your school or your kids out of public school, there should be funding to be able to help you put those kids in a private school if you would like. And it's a lot of this is because of the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm all for it. I think it's a great thing. And let's see, that's about all I got. Dr. Dan Stanislawski, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty well. A little tired today, but doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing okay if I had a voice.
Yeah, a little sick.
If I had a voice.
Did you go get tested?
No.
Why not?
No. Well, why? I don't have to. Hide in my basement. I don't have to stay 6 feet away from anybody anymore. Yeah. And I don't feel sick. Yeah. I just woke up and I had no voice, and I've been trying to find it ever since. So, yeah. Glad you're here, David Waterman. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm tired as well. Did you not sleep well?
Did you guys
night?
Party all night or what?
I mean, I think we stopped at 3. Wasn't it 3?
Oh, maybe 4. You guys are
3,
crazy.
4, something like that. Yeah, and then we shut it down and then got up at 6, you know. I don't know why I'm feeling so tired.
Okay, well, welcome. Paul, the producer's here too. How are you doing? There's part of your head.
Yep.
our producer, Katie, she's MIA right now, so I'll just duck.
I think she just doesn't like your hairdo. I think that's really what it is.
Can you fix his camera a little bit?
If you sit, just go ahead and sit up. sit up straight and let her see what
you look like me
missing.
Trying to sleep in your camper the other night.
I sat down earlier when I was
here. See, when she was adjusting the cameras, that's there right. You got to be there when Katie's adjusting the cameras or you get your head lopped off.
Yep. Kind of. And Paul is back, had a nice little vacation. How was that for you?
It was very interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, just to say the least. 7 days taking the camper out and got there and realized that there was no water. And that was fun.
So and that means no water going up. In or out
yep.
of your body.
Also on the way there, we missed a detour, so we ended up driving through a construction site. Mm. And then I turned onto a road, and I saw a sign, so I thought it was a one-way because it was, like, backward. But apparently all the signs are like that, so it wasn't actually a one-way. So I tried to turn around, and, like, I had to jackknife my camper, and I pulled into this, like, farm driveway, which apparently was like a meth lab.
Then he heard dueling banjos playing the radio.
Oh, my goodness.
So we had to boogie out of there really quick without trying to break my camper. And
whoa,
yeah,
no
it
kidding.
Was it was a very interesting time.
That sounds exciting.
It's good to have you back here. I'm my headphones are going out. We already got a text from Aaron, and yes, Aaron, I am wearing a green hat. She says, you must have a green hat on because your head is currently see-through.
That's right.
There's not much up there to see anyway, Aaron, but thank you for noticing. Look, at you can see you guys through my head in the background. How about that? Another day in paradise. Yeah. You know, you don't even have to ask about the title. But explain a little bit if you would.
You know, it's just everything that's happening. It's just another day where everything just is getting worse, it seems, unfortunately. You mentioned the Pfizer docs showing, you know, vaccination equals mm-hmm. the population. Where did you get that from? Like from Pfizer specifically releasing
It was somebody had posted it, but it had come from Pfizer. And I mean, I read it. I didn't write down the numbers all the way, but it was something to the fact that 25 to 35-year-olds, if you get the vaccination and, say, you get a booster, your odds of dying are better than if you weren't.
From COVID.
The more times you get boosted, it ups your odds of dying without the boosters or the vaccination. But you know, it took, what, 2.5 years for this to finally come out?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's been talking about this for 2 years, right. You know?
So I want to know, John, what is it like for you or Katie or for Paul to see, you know, being here in the Great Reset? We've been doing this for over a year now. What's it like for you hearing the stuff that we say and then seeing the rest of the world on, like, 1 year tape delay? What's that like?
You're exactly right, because when we started the Great Reset, at first I wasn't sure what to think. And I thought, you know what, this is just something. We're all in this together. We'll get over it as a country, as the world, as whatever. But it's not. It's not ending. And if you see an end in sight, they come up with something like monkeypox or donkeypox or what's it going to be next. But When are they gonna sweep this under the rug and say, look, we're done with this crap?
They're not. Because so here's the deal. We're not good. Look, neither one of us are good guessers. That's not what makes us special.
Mm-hmm.
We're good at running down the data, looking at the facts, and then using logic to come to a conclusion about mm-hmm. what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody could do this. And thankfully, more and more people around the country and around the world are doing what we've been doing at Midwest Public Health Coalition, you know, for the last 2 years. So I'm thankful for that, but more people need to step up to the plate and push back, because it's not going to be over. This is part of a multi-decade plan. And they plan on radically changing our country by the year 2030, which means we've got, you know, 7.5 years to stop them.
Well, you know, now with you almost want to say that Corona and all of that is starting to fade away. But now watching local news this morning on TV. Wait, I need to retract that. There is no local news here. But watching the news out of Fargo this morning, and they're just giddy about the fact that monkeypox vaccinations are available now in North Dakota. There's two cases.
Yeah.
Two cases in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Both were, they had been traveling wherever, got it We kind of know how you get it.
Partying.
How do you get it, John?
Well, I think they were traveling overseas where there's monkeys. But anyway, two cases, but they act all giddy for the fact that, oh, you can get a monkeypox vaccination now. Like, whoo-hoo. I would really like to pick the brains of some of these newscasters to find out what they really think and how fearful are they for their job. Because, you know, they're not fortunate enough to be like we are and say whatever the heck we want. Yep. And because nobody's going to fire us. You know, we might get banned from Facebook, but screw them too, you know? So I just think it's ridiculous that they're always looking for something. Whatever happened to good news? Yeah. You know, it's always just make us all into, you know, they're fear mongers is what it's turning out to.
Well, you know, so just like news. So, you know, on our way back from this camping trip, we put on an interview with on Del Bigtree. The Highwire.
Yeah.
And it was interviewing these parents who put their daughter in the trials for the vaccine for kids. And, you know, their kid ended up getting paralyzed.
Yeah.
And she's in the trial thing, and they're going through this whole thing, and just like over a month period of this girl, like after taking the vaccine, saying that her heart feels like it's coming out of her throat. I mean, and you know, like just all these huge complications in and out of the ER and all this stuff. And the only thing that they did is they sent in a psychologist saying that she probably has anxiety or something. And then they tried to, you know, commit her to a nut lab type of deal because they're like, well, she signed on for the clinical trials. Why don't you have scientists and people trying to figure this out? And they like, no, we don't want to figure this out. Right. We don't want to, and you know, have any type of, you know, it's safe and effective.
Well, of course you bring it. They're safe and effective. So you need a psychologist because it can't possibly be the vaccine.
Why wouldn't like a story like that be on the news?
Well, of course, it's not going to be on the news.
You know why.
Yeah.
You know, my question is, instead of putting your kid through these trials, why don't you man up and do it yourself? Put your kid through it. You know, to me, that is just ridiculous. How could you put your child through anything that's not tested or proven yet?
Yeah. I put a lot of blame on the parents on that.
Oh, like, absolutely. Why would you do absolutely.
That? Yep. You know, it makes me think about that horrible school shooting in Texas that happened a few months ago. Are they going to bring in psychologists to deal with the kids who died or were injured there? Because it must have been something they thought up in their own head, right? Because nobody would let that actually happen in real life. I mean, it couldn't have actually been the bullets. No, it had to be some. That's the level of lunacy that our country has fallen to.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable. Every day, it's like I had a friend that. Years ago, he took a trip to China, and he said he kept saying this word every time he went around a corner. He says the same word. He said he couldn't help it. It just came out of his mouth without him even thinking about it. It just was one of the things that just came out. And the word was unbelievable. Like, for example, he goes to this construction site, and they've got a big old front-end loader with a massive bucket on the front. And there's a big pile of sand. And they need to move the pile of sand, you know, I don't know, 150 feet to where they're going to use it because the truck dumped it there and now they can move it there. So they bring over this massive front end loader and the bucket goes up right in front of the pile of sand. And then 10 Chinese guys come over with the shovels and they shovel the sand into the bucket. And the front end loader
They must work up, for the city.
Pulls it up. And yeah, I think all 10 were city council members.
Well, then 8 of them would be leaning on the shovel and 2 of them would be shoveling.
And so he's looking at it. He's just unbelievable. And then the front end loader turns around, goes over to the place where it's got to dump the sand. It stops there. And 10 more guys come out with shovels and they shovel the sand out of the bucket into wherever it is, the cement or whatever. He said, because in China, in a communist country, the government has to create jobs. They have to make jobs. Yep. And so if the jobs are meaningless, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that the front could literally scoop the whole thing and be done in 10 minutes. No, they're going to spend all day shoveling, sanding out. So is that where we're headed as a country?
Yeah, it reminds me of the guy I saw on the South End coming out of, I won't say what store, but he bought a two-wheel cart. And he was bringing it out to his car in a shopping cart. Dude, forget it.
Yeah, right.
You know, some things you don't even try to explain to people.
Right.
Well, they're certainly creating a lot of IRS jobs.
Isn't that something?
87,000. And it says you have to, in order to qualify for this job, you have to adhere to the highest standards of conduct, especially in maintaining honesty and integrity for the IRS. Work a minimum of 50 hours per week, which may include irregular hours and be on call 24/7, including holidays and weekends. Maintain a level of fitness necessary to effectively respond to life-threatening situations on the job. Carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary. Be willing and able to participate in arrests, execution of search warrants, and other dangerous assignments. So interesting.
That doesn't sound like the IRS. That sounds like the Gestapo.
Now, here's my take on this, because I heard these jobs are going to be paying 80-something thousand. Yeah. They're going to target the middle class and the lower class. It's all they're going to target. You know this right away. Yeah. Now, if they're going to hire, how many of them?
It's 87,000, I think it was.
Okay, now, what does a cop make starting between probably $50,000 and $60,000?
Oh, yeah. No, I'd say 30 to 40.
Okay, yeah, well, anyway, you take the money that they're going to pay all these new IRS agents and instead take that money out and you could hire double the amount of law enforcement. Our schools would be covered. Our borders would be covered. Everything would be covered. But no, let's go pick on the low and middle class people, because that is exactly what they are going to do. If I tell you what, if I was a bartender right now, or I worked in the food service or alcohol industry, you really got to watch your P's and Q's, because, you know, these are hardworking people. But of course, we don't always claim everything. But now is when they are going to be breathing down your neck. The people that want to work more and make more money are the ones that are going to be penalized because of this.
Well, you know, clearly,
I saw though too that what they really could do is send these 87,000 of them over to Ukraine, and they could recover a lot of our tax dollars.
So I'm surprised you admitted it, but clearly, John, you are a racist, suggesting that they take any money and give it to cops, because we've got to defund the cops. I mean, if you don't want to defund the cops, you're racist. If you want to give more money to cops, you're racist.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm racist.
If you're, well, and you're white anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, I know. See, I'm 0-2. But do I get any benefits? No.
He's batting zero over here.
What's a guy got to do?
So I've got a friend that works for the federal government, and he said that list of requirements is actually pretty standard for federal employees.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so whether they're going to FBI, Border Patrol, IRS.
Okay.
Those are standard requirements, but not everybody is going to be carrying a gun. Uh-huh. Not everybody's going to do that. He said that all agencies, even the park and rec, the people that run the national parks, mm-hmm. They've got apparently a law enforcement arm where they carry weapons. So
the IRS has a law enforcement.
They'll have a law enforcement division within the IRS.
But they're supposed to be getting rid of the guns.
So just ours.
Guys. Oh, yeah, just ours. Just the taxpayers.
If you want a gun, go apply for the job of the IRS, and you can have one.
Yeah.
maybe fully automatic. I don't know. So he also feels that they're going to have a very difficult time. Even with those kind of numbers, he thinks they're going to have a very difficult time filling those positions, because there are just not a whole lot of people who want to do that.
No,
right?
No. I mean, I wouldn't.
I mean, I think the federal government's the biggest employer in the nation.
In the country.
By far.
Yes.
Right. And so it's not surprising. They also are starting to pay very well. I know when I was looking for a postdoctoral position, federal government paid by far the best, not even close, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, and so...
Really?
Yeah, by a long margin. And so that's one of the reasons I took a job at the USDA. But there, I think I saw, I mean, like in the 90s, it was already getting to be like the vast majority of, or at least it was more people working with the federal government than that are in manufacturing and manufacturing work and stuff like that in this country. And now that's probably not even close, way more. Yeah. So wow. Federal government is getting way just.
But the
way
benefit too big. Isn't the benefit of working for the federal government as a scientist is that the field is wide open, right? I mean, you can study anything as a scientist that you think should be studied and investigated and developed, you can do, right? Yeah, you're working for the federal government.
Yeah, not even close. And I mean, technically speaking, when you get NIH money, you are an employee of the federal government. So a lot of the people working for universities, it's different in North Dakota. In North Dakota, it's like 95% of your salary is paid by the state. If you're a North Dakota university employee.
Okay.
Researcher.
Okay.
That's not the case for most states. I know if you get like the most famous and prestigious grant is called an R01 grant, and a lot of big researchers will have an R01 grant just to pay themselves and then use other R01 grants to support their
Yeah, you got to go find your own money.
Yeah, exactly. But then at that point, they're technically federal employees.
Yeah.
Because
I know my wife was at the EERC for how many years? And everybody says, oh, it's combined and tied in with UND, blah, blah, blah. But my wife worked a lot without getting a paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
That's just, you got to go out and find your own money.
Yeah.
Then when you do get the money for a grant for research or whatever, well, then everybody else gets their pick of the pot first. And all of these, I mean, you know, there's got to be money going into the planning a party, you know, person and all that kind of stuff for their get together. So by the time it gets funneled down to the people actually doing the work, there's nothing left.
Oh, yeah. And I've heard insiders reports now from just the massive level of bureaucracy now at the university for granting.
Mm-hmm.
And just all the paperwork is like separate paperwork are handled by different people.
Yep.
And then you have to as the researcher has to coordinate it all. And it's like most of your time is shuffling paperwork around mm-hmm. now instead of doing what
research.
Yeah, instead of researching and discovering. So, it's become a massive, massive boondoggle. No surprise, though. No surprise.
Well, but the nice thing about a government job is that they can pay. You don't have to ever worry about not getting paid, right? Because they print them. They also print the money,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, we call it money. Is it really money? Dan, is it money that they print?
It's a very bastardized form of money, I guess. I mean, technically it is. That's what's so fascinating about money when it's in. Because there's like this philosophy of money. There's a lot of different philosophies of money. Yeah. But when it's instantiated into the material world, and that's the thing that people use in a society, it introduces all kinds of new sin and these things. So money is a very interesting subject. But we have a very...
It's a good thing I have none.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have these problems.
Well, yeah, but that's just it. People lust after it, you know, and it becomes the center of their life. It's just using this thing called money to collect other material things.
Okay. But now,
which in and of itself isn't wrong. It what's wrong is where your heart is, right? So if I decide that I'm going to take advantage of you in order to get more material things for myself, then that's a big problem.
Yeah,
right.
And so you know, it's an interesting thing what's going on in the country right now. And I actually think that it's good to run down this money trail a little bit longer, but because the fractional reserve.
Oh, we'll get there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there's a massive attack going on nationwide against capitalism. And capitalism is a phrase that was first uttered by a communist because he wanted us to be an ism as well. But it's really the free market economy that we have in America where you get to go out, dig up something and sell it, you know, or make shoes, sew tents, create clothes, whatever you're doing, if someone else will pay you to do that, and they benefit because what they, like, okay, so for these glasses, for example, what I paid for these glasses made this company money. They earned a profit.
Mm-hmm.
It costs them less to produce it with both the materials, the labor, and everything else that went into making these glasses than they sold it for. So they sold it at a profit.
Sure.
The money that I paid for these, I don't remember what it was. The money that I paid for these was worth less to me than the benefit I get from being able to put this on and clearly read the paper.
Sure.
So that's called a win-win situation, right?
Yep.
That's what the free market economy is based on. Win-win. You benefit... The person that you sold it to benefits. The labor that you provide for someone, they benefit. So when you're working in radio, right, you didn't actually produce a tangible thing, but you had your show and they were able to sell it with, you know, have advertisers, but so that the station made a profit, just like you do here, you know. And so, so
money can't buy you happiness.
So that was, so everybody benefits, and that's the way that it works. But there is a massive attack against the free market economy by communists who want to suggest that that's the cause of all the evils in America. And the truth of the matter is that there are great evils that are going on around the world by people who call themselves capitalists and by these massive corporations like Walmart and, you know, Apple Computer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, it's a crony capitalism IBM. We're experiencing.
Crony capital, and I would say even, I mean, it's a criminal capitalism. It's not real capitalism. It's corporatism. Yeah. It's in some cases, I think in a lot of cases, it's actually Nazism or socialism. It's the fascism, where the government gets in bed with these big corporations, and then they have this incestuous relationship with each other, and the end results, whatever harm they do to the people, is irrelevant as long as the company makes money and the politicians stay in power. So the incestuous relationship goes like this: the politicians need money to run for office so they can get elected, so they have power. The companies, the big, massive corporations, they provide the money to the politicians so they can run for office. And in return, what's the quid pro quo? It's once they're in office, they make sure that these big companies continue to make massive profits off of the backs of people who suffer as a result of their policies. And it generally happens in other countries, not in the United States. But the number of countries whose people have gone into absolute poverty as a result of pressure by the U.S. government and these other companies to literally rape and pillage these other nations is it's historic. I mean, it's been going on for as long as the Rockefellers have been around and the Rothschilds. And so what they do is they, I mean,
it's, I think, a whole Haiti system is a good example of it.
So that's not capitalism. That's evil, right? That's theft. That's abuse of your position and abuse of power if the government is involved. So if the CIA is taking out the head of a country who refuses to go along with our scheme to make X, I mean, I'm not going to pick on anybody, Exxon or Shell or, you know, one of these big oil companies. It's not going to make them a bunch of money. Then the CIA sends someone in and they take this guy out and replace him with somebody that is going to play the game the way that they want, so that they maximize their profits, and often maximize their profits at the expense of the people in that country, right? I mean, we'll do a show one time on the whole thing with the Shah of Iran and how he was propped up and put into power so that we could get their oil rather than the revenues from the oil that they had going to the people and benefiting them. So anyway, my point is there are really evil things that happen under the name of capitalism.
Sure.
Or free market economy. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that capitalism itself is wrong or that it's evil. What it really means is that anything, really, it's just about any endeavor, any enterprise that is enacted without a basis of the Judeo-Christian ethic as its foundation will become eventually corrupt and will harm many, many people and benefit an elite few.
You know, you want to know a really good example of capitalism is, you know, if you were to bake some goods and somebody were to sell, like that person bakes those goods and then they sell them to a person to make a profit so they can continue to make more goods, more baked goods, so more people can enjoy them. That's where you would go for.
And the person buys them because they're delicious.
What a great segue, Paul. You know, man, there is nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods. We're talking Oh for Heaven's Cakes right here in the Grand Cities Mall. Whether you got a special occasion or just a treat, their cakes and cupcakes are incredible. You can order them or you can walk in to find out more. While you're there, enjoy homemade lunch and soup with keto, gluten-free, vegan, and diabetic options. If you're a business owner, want to treat your employees, check out their monthly employee discount. They're on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall. They're open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. Call them up, 701-757-CAKE. Or go to OhForHeavensCakes@yahoo.com. Be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. All for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. You know, school hasn't even started yet, but never too early to start thinking about your graduation cakes and all that stuff. There we go. It is another day in paradise with the Great Reset. Of course, Executive Director David Waterman, Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislavski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition sitting in on the show today with myself and Paul, the producer. Let's see, Marie does text and says, I don't believe our country is truly capitalist or free market anymore.
No.
I don't know.
I mean, like Karl Marx, when he was writing his Communist Manifesto, one of the things he said that you want in a communist nation is a centralized banking authority.
No.
We've had that for since 1913. So they were well on their way to subverting the monetary system of the United States a long time ago. And if you look at the buying power of the U.S. dollar since 1913, it's in the toilet. It's like 4 cents on the dollar or whatever. Unbelievable. Maybe less than that. Yeah.
So. Yeah. When my parents were growing up, were starting a family, the father could work, the mother could stay home and raise the children. And they could afford to buy a house, mm-hmm. and they could afford to buy a car. And they did those things. And they made far less money than, what do they make, $13,000 a year?
Yep.
I mean, and they could buy a house on that.
Yep.
Today, you make $60,000 a year, and you can't even afford to buy a house.
Right.
So, yeah, what's happened? Yep. It's not that the price of houses has gone up. It's the value of the dollar has gone down to...
Exactly. Inflation's nasty.
Yeah.
To go swimming at Elk's Pool. Oh. My dad said it was like, what, 25 cents? And now it's $3?
Oh,
four,
yeah.
Five?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, exactly.
A bottle of Mountain Dew is like $3 now.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yeah. And they also got rid of the, you know, the cap on the top that where you could win a free one. Oh, you know, peek under to make sure you got the good one.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, even what you're talking about, like this isn't really money related, but if you look at, you know, well, I grew up in the 80s and... You know, you would see things like science fairs and kids, you know, building stuff or going out and jumping their bike over five of their buddies or, you know, doing whatever. And there was like all this creativity and action going on. And maybe I'm just like not seeing it today because I'm older, but it seems like now, I mean, these kids are, they're just more interested in doing stupid dances on TikTok or something as opposed to like, you know, I mean, if you look back 30 years ago or whatever, people were like trying to land on the moon. They were trying to like do all these amazing things. And now all people are doing is like trying to find the stupidest thing that they can post on social media. It blows my mind.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right, Paul. One of the did you want to say
something? No, go ahead.
You know, one of our, we have a couple of small businesses, and one of them is we transfer people's videotape and movie film to DVD, and it's a sad thing. It makes me, because for movie film, I'm talking about 8mm, you know, the little strip of plastic that's got the pictures on it. We transfer those, and all those are old, right? They go back to the 70s, 60s, 50s, and I'm telling you, every single time I watch them, you know, we're doing the transfer because we've got to, it happens in real time and it's got to be monitored because film, it is old. It's got splices in it. If the splice breaks and someone leaves the room, you come back with a pile of film on the floor, right? So we have to monitor everything. And Paul, I can't tell you how many times I've sat there and watched these kids that the parents are filming with their 8mm movie camera. And they're running around outside, and they're smiling, and they're laughing, and they're riding their bikes, or they're you know, chasing each other, or they're climbing trees, or they're swimming. And they're really having fun. And there are two things that really stand out. One is there are no devices anywhere because they didn't have them back then.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing physical activity. And guess what? By today's standards, they're all thin. All mm-hmm. of them. Mm-hmm. All thin. You don't see chubby kids in these old videos.
Mm-hmm.
The chubbiest kid in a video or a film back then would be considered average today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, things have changed dramatically. No, you're exactly right. We don't see that anymore. And when people bring in newer, you know, anyway, it's I look at those old movie films and I think... We had no idea how good we had it back then. And mm-hmm. and things keep getting worse. I want to just quickly address Marie's comment about saying, I don't believe our country is truly capitalist or free market anymore. Here's the thing. Our country is not a, it's not a solid mass, right? It's not one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's multi-level. We've got massive corporations that are corrupt and that do all kinds of horrible, evil things. I think, for example, Walmart is not our friend. Here's an example that that I heard from someone in New York that Rubbermaid. You remember the Rubbermaid mm-hmm. products?
Sure.
Rubbermaid found a great market in Walmart. They sold a ton of their stuff there. And then here's the deal, the way that they worked, at least back then. I'm assuming they work the same way now, or at least a similar way. Walmart said, we want to buy so many tubs, so many of these kinds of containers, and so many of these kind of containers, and we'll place an order, but we need to have massive amounts. And so Rubbermaid said, wow, we can't produce that many. We're going to have to retool. We're going to have to set up new dyes and new get all new equipment. So Rubbermaid made a massive investment in equipment so that they could produce at a much higher volume, mm-hmm. all right? And then after they did that, Walmart orders, again, I don't get me on the details here because this is years ago that I learned this. Walmart said, yeah, we're going to order this many more from you, and you're going to sell them to us at this price. And they said, whoa, wait a minute. We can't. That's below our manufacturing costs.
Mm-hmm.
We can't sell them to you at that price. They said, you sell them at that price or we're going to buy them from someone else, which effectively bankrupted Rubbermaid, which mm-hmm. was at that point a family-owned company.
Sure. It's
been around for decades. It bankrupted them. Now, if you buy any Rubbermaid product, you notice it says Rubbermaid Newell on it, N-E-W-E-L-L, because apparently Newell is the company that bought Rubbermaid when they went bankrupt because they couldn't pay their loans off when they bought all this new equipment so that they could produce at a higher volume so that they could sell to Walmart.
Right, right. I heard the same thing. I watched a documentary on Harley Davidson, and Ford had somehow bought Harley Davidson because they wanted their tricycles, and they wanted them as like tow vehicles. But then Ford came by and they said, we're going to use like metric bolts and nuts and everything. So they had to revamp their entire like factories of how they make everything.
Yeah.
And so they had to buy all this equipment and everything. And then Ford did the exact same thing that you're talking about, saying, well, now we're going to, you know, sell it at this or whatever. And Harley was like, we just bought all this equipment to try to make the transfer for you. They had to pretty much declare bankruptcy.
Too bad. And so they're just too bad.
Because Ford wanted to basically just buy them out and own the brand.
I'm going to see if I can understand this. A long text from John. Sometimes people can't understand why big corporations promote the leftist agenda. The leftist agenda is socialist manned. It can seem antithetical to capitalism, which American business is built on. I always respond by asking them this. Do you think it's easier to create and maintain a monopoly in a free society or a communist one? This usually starts a good conversation. Another question could be, what kind of lawsuits are there in China? What kind of corporate liability is there in a totalitarian country where government is the corporation?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a great point. And so what you're talking about, Paul, with Harley Davidson and the point about Rubbermaid. By the way, did I get the details right on that?
Yeah.
The Rubbermaid thing?
Yep.
Okay, good.
I think you were pretty close. I remember
that's not capitalism. that's predatory business practices. Mm-hmm. That is not capitalism. That's going in as a wolf and destroying the so-called business partners mm-hmm. that you have for your benefit, and that's wrong. That's just evil, and that's happened multiple times. It's not just with Rubbermaid; it's with a bunch of other things.
So sure.
That doesn't mean that capitalism by itself is wrong,
mm-hmm.
or that the free market economy doesn't work, because it most certainly does work. What it means is, it's like saying, "Hey, I heard a guy once say, you know, we should have the mafia run the country because they know how to run it efficiently, and if they were running our country, then we'd actually..." No, they don't. They're criminals. What they do is they lie, cheat, and steal. to make money. They don't run things efficiently. They go to you and they, you know, like they come and they say, hey, have you paid up your insurance here, GFBS? You say, what insurance? We have insurance. No, you don't have the right kind of insurance. Well, what are you talking about? Well, I mean, I think you need fire insurance for a place like, look, all these lights. You never know what could happen. Well, we already have insurance. Well, you need our insurance.
Yeah.
And you go, no, thanks. Thanks anyway. And then the guy goes, yeah. Do I smell smoke? Right? That's how the mafia works, right? That's a criminal organization. And so they use things like, you know, extortion and kidnapping and things like that.
Jeff says this would be a good time to mention Dr. Dan's reading of Jekyll Island on Open Secrets.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, we finished it up last week. It was a long... It was an over 2 hour last episode, so we had to upload in two videos because we didn't know that, you know, Paul was gone, and we didn't know you couldn't upload more than 2 hours at a time. So, but yeah, it was good. It was
I didn't know that either.
There you go.
Well, it's like a couple of weeks ago we were doing a Zoom interview and we didn't realize that Zoom had changed now down to 40 minutes.
Oh, really?
So you're right in the middle of a show and all of a sudden, boom, everything gets shut off. And it's like, what's going on? You know, it went from an hour to 40 minutes. So, yeah but thank you, Jeff.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Chad says, I'm going to see the data from my data request at the Carlstead School today. Maybe they're looking for school board notes or something up there. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard too much about Carlstead, but thank you guys for texting. Again, our number is 701-213-0863.
Mm-hmm. So these are big issues, right? And
sure.
How do you affect something like that? Well, you can affect it with your wallet, with your pocketbook. You can say, you know what? I'm not going to shop at a store that does that kind of stuff. Well, I believe that Walmart's goal is to get rid of all the mom-and-pop operations that provide the same kinds of products that they do so that they become a monopoly, which we've got antitrust laws in the United States that should prevent that from happening. But we also have people in Congress who don't seem to care what the law actually says as long as they keep making money, as long as they keep having their checks written out for their campaigns, they're fine with it. So I think that the answer is, the solution is that we need to start at the local level. We have to find out what's going on locally and say, hey, you shouldn't do that. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they keep doing it, then you vote them out of office.
You know, that's what I like about the Grand Cities Mall here. The majority of the stores, except I believe one, are all mom and pop shops. Where you actually... You know, I was having this conversation with another business owner here in the mall this morning about the Walmarts, the Sams, and all that. And I do shop at both, but I hate it because, you know, you go to Walmart or Target and you've got 20 checkout aisles.
Yeah.
And two of them are open.
Right.
But then you look at the line for the self-checkout.
Oh, yeah.
There's 50 people waiting in line. Now, if you're at Sam's, and again, I shop at Sam's, but I hate it. And then when you're all done and you never can get through, if you do grocery shopping like we do and you spend hundreds of dollars at a time, you can never get through it without having to call in somebody for help. You know, I need your help, and you got to wait for them. But then you have to go through and have them scan through a bunch of your crap that you've already paid for. I one of these times, I just wish I had to just go right by them and say, you know what? If you guys had a checkout, this wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
But now you're stopping me again to what? See if I'm stealing?
But even when they have the check, even when you go through the checkout at Sam's, they still, let's see, we're getting to see your thing. I say, yeah, forget it. Yeah. Oh, I paid. Look, I don't have time for this. Hey, thanks. Have a nice day.
Yeah, it's always easy to sneak out a 40-pack of socks. You know, it's like the thing is, when you shop at Sam's, there's nothing small. You know, it's all in boxes. So it's like, come on. And don't take a look in there. Look at my receipt. Yeah, you're good.
And don't they have security cameras anyway?
I would think so. I don't know. I just hate self-checkouts.
Trust me, they do. They have security cameras everywhere.
And you know, think about it. When we were kids, me growing up in Thief River Falls, there were little mom and pop convenience stores everywhere.
Yeah.
Most of them had a butcher shop.
Yeah.
When you could go to the store with a note from your mom to pick her up a pack of smokes, you know, and things like that. Well, you drive around, even Grand Forks now, where there used to be a little store here and a little store there, there's nothing like that anymore. There's no neighborhood stores anymore. There's no places where you can send the kids down to get a can of soup or a carton of milk.
Well, and the problem is that they there are certain things you can only get at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that too, but because I'm not going to shop at the local grocery tyrant thing.
Well, I mean, exactly what you're talking about with the payloader, with the, you know, the Chinese people. That's the same thing as Sam's Club. They're just making a job for somebody to look over your receipt. And, like, they're going to even know what's in there? I mean, are, like, they're going through your whole cart? Yeah, exactly. All they're doing is standing there, and they're like, oh, okay, well, just highlight here they and, need that. And be on your way. I mean, how stupid.
Maybe there's a union requirement for using so many highlighters in a day.
Yeah.
And so they've got to go through those highlighters, you know.
And, you know, I mean, it kind of... I can see, you know, having like competition and everything like that, but what you're talking about, like having local businesses and stuff, you know, for instance, I just went over to Raptor and had them fix my computer and perfectly fine with that. Whatever they wanted to charge me, okay, like mm-hmm. you're my go-to.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there and then, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go take it to this other guy and this other guy and this other guy and, yeah. and see who's going to give me the best price. No, that's my go-to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we started this business here where we're providing a place for people to podcast their business, and nothing against them. But you got another media company that's like, oh, well, I'm just going to take that idea and do it ourselves. Well, why wouldn't you want to support the people in your community mm-hmm. instead of just trying to pull business from somebody else? Why don't you try to help the people that are also in your community? I mean, it kind of irked me. I mean, I get it, but it's still like, that's not something I would do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Jeff says he heard this in the sociology class. I heard Walmart puts all the checkout lanes in to make you think they care about you. That makes sense. I mean, that I'm does sure. make sense.
Yeah, and they think that you're too stupid to recognize that they never have employees working at those checkouts. Mm. Right. And you know, to your point, yeah, it's hard because you should, if especially if there's a new business in town, you know, like JFBS, when you started up a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
it would be good to if people see value in that, they should frequent your establishment so that you can grow. I mean, that's something that they understand really well. And I saw a documentary on Austin, Texas, years ago. And they said one thing about the people in Austin. There's a huge business community there. And they said they are so pro-business in Austin that if you start up your own business, you go to Austin, you start a new flower shop, whatever, you don't have to worry about trying to make a name for yourself, because people go, oh, they'll be so excited. There's a new business there. And they want everybody to thrive in Austin. So people will go out of their way to come and shop at your place just to help you get mm-hmm. off the ground and have a successful launch and then stay in business. And I think that's great. I mean, that is literally the free market economy at work. And because it benefits everyone.
I mean, I'm a firm believer of buying local. I would rather buy local than go out of town. There are times, though, where you have to. I mean, for example, look at somebody looking for a fleet of vehicles. Yeah. If you have to go out of town to buy this fleet, well, then maybe your hometown isn't quite, maybe they don't want your business. I don't know. But if you're willing to stay, you keep your business local, I think the businesses should also be able to cater to you a little bit. Yeah, I know right. they all can't do that. Right. Some might have, they might have 500 trucks on their lot compared to your town that might only have 50. And I see where that, how that works. But, I'm a true believer in keeping it small, mom and pop shops. Of course there are chain stores that you have to visit, but, yeah, keep it local. You know, I mean, that's all there is.
Well, I mean, you could just look at, so let's just say like a bubble tea place. You go in there every day and you're like, oh, I really love your bubble teas. I come in here every day. This is a really great concept. I have a lot of money. I think I'll open one up right across the street.
Right.
You know, like, so you found value in something that you enjoyed every day, and then you just wanted to take that away from them to profit yourself. Like, what? Who does that? What kind of moral person wants to just ruin somebody else?
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, when we started Grand Forks Best Source, we were kind of new at this. I mean, we were new. Nobody's doing it yet. Now we got all kinds of people. You know, what do they say? When they copy you, it's a form of flattery or something like that.
But
now we've got some of these new podcasts coming up, and they're trying. But, boy, they don't have what we do.
And you know what? Here's the deal. It's in an ideal world, once a new business is established and you're doing well and you're making money and somebody else wants to come in and offer the same product or service, it's okay, that's competition. You know, that's that actually keeps everybody on their toes.
Sure it does.
That helps you to be better at what you mm-hmm. do already because you go, I got a little challenge now. I think maybe we should add, hey, what if we do this? That actually is, that ends up being good for everybody.
It is. You're right.
Unless it's a corporation that
has. Unless it's exactly. And they come in and their goal.
And they got multi thousands and thousands of dollars to just try to crush
you. Yes, right. And that's one of the bookstores. It wasn't B. Dalton. It was, what was the other bookstore that opened up on campus? I don't know if they're still there or not. What was the bookstore? Like 10 years ago, they opened up.
Barnes & Noble?
Barnes & Noble.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
sure,
thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. And I read that an employee from Barnes & Noble said their measurement of success is how many mom-and-pop bookstores they can put out of business whenever they open up a new shop, a new store in town. Their goal is to put other bookstores out of business. I'm sorry, that's wrong.
And no, that's is wrong.
That shouldn't happen in America. But they say, hey, our job is to our shareholders, and the board of directors has got to make a profit, and that's what we do. So you can make a profit. There's a difference between a profit and an obscene profit. Obscene profit doesn't mean that you make a ton of money. It means you make money at the expense of some other American company or mm-hmm. business. Unnecessarily, and that's an obscene profit. So here's the problem. There are people, and that's all they care about. You know, what does the Bible say? A lot of people say that it says the money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say that. It says the love of money mm-hmm. is the root of all sorts of evil, and it is. So we gotta, you know, some people love money and they use people to get it. I think it's much better to love people and use money to love people.
You know, I'm still, when you hear these people that say money can't buy you happiness, I call the BS card on that because in my early days of radio, when I first started, basically I had, I think, my first 3 months on the job, I had 2 days off. I made zero money, hardly at all. I was so hungry at one point that I opened up a can of kidney beans and started eating kidney beans because I was that hungry. Now, if you say money can't buy you happiness, I know I would have been a lot happier if this would have been some baked beans. You know, I would have had the money to buy the baked beans instead of this can of kidney beans that had been in my cupboard for 8 months.
This is a Tosh.0 reference, if anybody remembers that guy. Yeah. But yeah, he said, yeah, money can't buy you happiness. But it can buy you a jet ski, and jet skis are a lot of fun. Right.
So just one more point about conflicting or competing businesses. Anybody that's in the food business, the restaurant business, have you ever noticed that restaurants, they tend to kind of end up getting clumped together? Like a lot of cities, you go to a certain area mm-hmm. and there are multiple restaurants in the same area.
Yep.
You know what? That's not a coincidence. Restaurant owners, especially if they know what they're doing, they understand that being next to another restaurant, even though it's technically a competing business, is actually good for business.
Sure.
Because people might go to your restaurant day after day after day, but his restaurant's right next to yours. And at some point, they go, hey, let's check this other one out.
Yep.
It's right next door.
Yep.
And we're used to going here. So you go there, and it ends
Try
up
something
actually
different.
Benefiting everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That way, the manager can look at the other restaurant's parking lots and see how full they are compared to his. And you can tweak your business model that way, too.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Well,
yeah.
I think I brought this up on other shows, but a lot of people don't realize that normally you have a restaurant, and then a new one opens up across the street. That has a grand opening.
Yeah.
And then the other one has kind of like a going out of business type of special. They're both owned by the same business.
Oh. And, boy, that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's by design. I mean, the owner opens up a new one's grand opening, you know, get all these people to come check out the other one. And then The other one says going out of business sale. So then they get the people that want to get the sale prices on the other one. And then they just keep, and then they'll end up closing that one down. And then they'll reopen that one as a new restaurant. And they'll just keep reversing the process.
Yeah, I like the furniture stores where you'll see the going out of business sale.
Yeah.
Well, it's been going on for 4 years. Yeah. When are you going out of business? When are you going to get your people off of the side of the street with their flag and their sign and dancing and all that? I mean, how long are you going to go out of business for?
The same as they were the other before they started going out of business.
Yeah. People don't realize that Olive Garden and Applebee's are owned by the same company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're the same company.
It's Darden Restaurants.
Yeah, it's just a different restaurant name with a different menu. But they're owned by the same company. They're not competing.
No, right. But I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
I mean, here's the thing. I'm all in favor of company. American starting businesses. Even if it becomes a big company, that's fine.
It's the American dream.
But you operate your business ethically. Mm-hmm. Look, there are small mom and pop shops that are run by crooks.
Sure.
They rip their people off. They're local. I've talked to people that work for local privately owned businesses, and they say, these guys are crooks, and they will rob you blind. They'll rob their customers blind. They'll rob their vendors blind. Because they're crooks. It doesn't matter how small it is. That's the thing. So there are bad apples in every level, every strata of the economic system that we have.
Going back to that IRS thing, too. I mean, if you know, IRS going after and auditing people. Well, servers, I mean, I was a server for many, many years. And you got these businesses like Aaron's Red Lobster and Olive Garden. They're owned by the same company. But, you know, you're a bartender or a server there. Minimum wage at that time was $7.25. But we were paid $3.25 because we had to claim our tips. So as long as you claim your tips to make your minimum wage, you know, and then at the end of the year when taxes come, if they're all on credit card, you might have to pay in on your taxes. Oh, yeah. I mean, what a crock of shit. Mm-hmm. Seriously, how are you going to justify paying an employee $3.25 an hour when the minimum wage is $7.25 and saying, well, whatever you make on tips is going to compensate for that. And that employer gets to do that?
I don't know how anybody, including the IRS, can declare tips as a wage. Because it's not a wage. A tip is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what
for
it is.
A if good
you
service.
Think about it, yeah, you say, hey, I really appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, and then you also have to tip out the busser. You have to tip out the bartender. Yeah, so all your tips that you make, you also have to tip out everybody else that you work with. I mean, what a freaking racket!
It is. Yeah, it is a racket because tips are not required, right? You can go to a store, you can go to a restaurant, eat your meal, and get up and leave, and not give any tip. That's proof that it's not part of the sale. It's not part of the transaction. When you sit down at the restaurant, you order, I'll take the chicken Alfredo. That you're making a business transaction with the owner of the restaurant saying, I will pay the price on the menu for that plate of food.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay that and you can walk out. You're done. The restaurant owner is not going to go running after you. They're not going to call the police. Hey, he didn't tip the... You did what you agreed to do. That's it. So if somebody says, "Hey, you know what? I'm gonna give you an extra $5 for you." I like the way that you did that. That is a gift. That's not a payment,
right?
Because it's not required. It's not part of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't see how they can call that wages because you're allowed to be given. I don't know what it is today. I think it's like ten. You can receive $10,000 worth of gifts before you have to start declaring them on your income taxes. I think it's $10,000.
Well, and here's the other BS part about it is that, okay, so let's say you work all month and you get absolutely no tips and they pay you $3.45 an hour, but they have to meet the minimum wage.
Right.
So at the end of the month, they have to fork over the extra money to make sure that you made that minimum wage.
Right.
But at the end of the month, if they say,
You're not doing your job.
You're not doing your job, so you're fired because you're not making us that free money.
Yeah, right. I think that's wrong. I'm not. I, I know what I've heard is that it's really hard to make money in the restaurant business because food costs are high, labor is high, spoilage is high. You know, they've got a lot of costs, and so they try to cut wherever they can so that they can still make a profit. But I still think that tips should be considered a gift from the, because it's not required. It's just not a requirement.
So pro tip for the day.
Pro tip for the day. There it is.
When you tip your server, give it to him in cash.
There you go. Yep. And say, shh, this is for you.
Yep. Yeah.
Like grandpa used to do, right?
Don't claim it. Just like take grandma the cash, used to, put it in your pocket.
This is for you.
Yep.
This is for you.
Yep.
Cash, put it in your pocket.
That's happened to me before, too, where I say, we waited and waited and waited and didn't get any help. And finally, this girl that was probably busier than any other servers came up. And I went up to her afterwards and I said, here, this is for you. And she says, I can't do that. Cannot do that. Nope. What? I have to put this in. Everybody gets to split the tips. And I said, well, I don't want her to get any of this money.
Right.
You know? And it's exactly. To the point where it's like, okay, well, then I'm not going to leave a tip, but I'm not going to do that either because this worker, I mean, she went above and beyond what she was supposed to be doing, covering another lazy employee's butt.
And my son used to work for a food vending place here in town, and that's the way that they did it. They said, yeah, everybody's got to – in fact, they didn't share the tips. They said, we're going to take all the tips. The owner took the owner-operator took the tips, and then at the end of the month or whatever, he took that money and bought everybody pizzas or something like that. Geez. So, I mean, I think that's so lame. I don't see how it's legal.
I don't either.
I don't see how it's legal for an employee to say, yeah, you take your tip stand, and we're going to put them all in the same pot, and then we're going to distribute them evenly.
Well, that sounds like socialism.
That sounds a lot like socialism, doesn't it?
Yeah. Chad says, look up Title 26, what an employee is, what income is, et cetera, and mostly who it applies to. I'll have to look that up one day. Do we got anything more, guys?
Holy cow,
we're already over an hour.
It went fast. Woke airline policies threaten safety, workers say. This is, again, from the Epic Times, our nation's last remaining real newspaper. So I won't read the whole thing, but basically it says that Southwest Airlines is now, this is a quote from Jay Ratliff, who's an aviation analyst. He says, every airline is trying to push forward with minority hiring because they want to show that they care.
What?
Yeah, minority hiring to show that they care. While promoting diversity sounds like a good idea, the inclusionary policies have actually become exclusionary at Southwest, employees say. So there's this woman.
I'm not flying Southwest.
Charlene Carter was fired from her job at Southwest Airlines. She's won a federal case alleging she was wrongfully terminated for expressing her personal religious views. You know what her personal religious views were? That abortion is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She's pro-life, and she made it clear that she's pro-life. And now she's, and I think they fired her. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, she was. She was terminated. That's the same thing as being fired. Here's what happened.
Because who I want flying my plane is somebody that's not pro-life.
Let's think about that, folks. Great point, Paul. Here's how it went down. A federal jury in Texas awarded Charlene Carter more than $5 million after finding that Southwest wrongfully terminated her for expressing pro-life views on social media. She didn't even do it at work. Wow. She did it on social media, and they fired her. Wow. Gee, Southwest, that doesn't sound very compassionate to me. That doesn't sound like you care to me.
I'm pretty sure after us doing this podcast for the last 2 years that we're unhireable by
any company. We won't be able to fly. We can't take a bus, a train.
We're on the no anything list.
No anything list. Right. And so, but this is what employees are saying. They're saying that let's see, DEI programs and woke cultural shift are creating huge distractions, which by themselves pose a threat to safety in ways that most people never think about, a pilot says. And hiring practices driven by diversity are a, quote, recipe for disaster, one flight attendant says. And here's that flight attendant's quote. I just hope I'm not at work when it happens. Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. Well, we're pleased to say that your pilot is a trans not transnational, not transunion, no, a trans pilot, which was hired. The first trans pilot in the industry was hired by us. And we're not sure what it is, but it's a trans thing. And didn't do so well scoring on landing. But you know what? We're inclusionary here, and so we should all be celebrating that.
They identify as a good lander.
They identify as a good lander. Yeah. So look, you know what? Listen, I don't want anybody to think that I'm making fun of anyone because they have gender dysphoria. I mean, that's a real thing, right?
Yep.
If you're a guy and you think you're a girl, that's gender dysphoria. That's a mental illness. That's an emotional disorder, okay? That's what it is. Guess what? If you got male parts, that means you're a boy. If you got female parts, that means you're a girl. Incidentally, if you got female parts, guess what else you have? A female brain.
Yeah.
If you got male parts, it means you've got a male brain because everything is kind of, it all matches up, right? That means that you think a certain way if you're a woman. So it doesn't matter if you have the exact same IQ as Katie and you both look as, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult. I mean, I'm saying you can both have the exact same intellect and look at something. You can read this and you'll both see something different in it. Because men and women think differently. They think differently. They are different. That's why mommies are women and daddies are men.
Yeah. That's why I identify as trans slender.
Do you know?
Like I said, I'm a fat guy, but I think I'm skinny, so I'm going to just call myself trans slender.
So here's just a quick example. They know for a fact that babies who spin around, they get kind of maybe tossed up in the air a little bit. That actually creates a stronger development of the inner ear and balance and things like that. They're actually they found that they're actually. I mean, I'm not talking about putting someone in a centrifuge, okay?
Right.
I'm just saying that kind of movement.
Yeah. Actually, physical produces, activities.
Yeah, yeah. That actually induces stronger growth in parts of the brain.
Sure.
Right. It makes a person more capable
of the ear.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Guess who does that between mommy and daddy? Who's the one that's spinning Junior around?
Usually dad.
It's daddy.
Yeah.
Right. Why? Because mommy wants to be careful with Junior.
Yeah.
And you know what? They've also found that babies who are cuddled and kept warm and safe and close, that produces a great emotional benefit in those children. So mommy's doing the cuddling. Daddy's doing the spinning. It ends up benefiting the child to have both of them.
Sure.
Yeah, but I think the first thing that they tell you to do when a woman gives birth is they want that body contact.
Absolutely.
They want the mom to hold the baby.
Right. And that's finally people are starting to figure that out. But it's true. There's a bonding that takes place, and that actually creates, I don't know if there's, Dan, if there's a scientific word for this, but that creates a level of security in the baby that actually follows them in life. It actually does physical, psychological, emotional, intellectual response in that baby that is beneficial and makes them a healthier, stronger human being.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's any, like, I wouldn't know the science behind it, but I mean, just my logic would say if a woman gave birth and the first thing they did was take that kid and put him in a cart and wheeled him off somewhere.
Which happens.
That would be completely different for the baby than, you know, being held and, like, right out of the
yeah, usually if that happens, there is something wrong with the child, and you need to get in a nebulizer or something like that.
I'm just saying, if you were to do it like on a large scale, like every single birth, you just take the kid, you just put him in a thing and put him in a room. And
there are countries where that happens.
Yeah.
Do you know what happens if you take a newborn as soon as it's born and you separate it from the mother immediately, and then you take it to a place, put it in a basket, you know, put it the warming things on it so that it stays warm? And then you get a feeding tube to feed it, you know, whatever.
And it's COVID. And it's COVID shot.
And it's COVID shot, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first things first. Well, yeah.
Duh. Do you know what happens to that child if it's not touched by another human being? But it's got heat, it's got warmth, it's got nutrition. You know what happens to the baby? It dies. Babies cannot survive without human contact. It will literally die from lack of human contact. It's got protection, it's got food, but no human contact, the baby will die. That's how important that bonding between a mother and a baby is when they're right out of the womb. Incredibly important. And so, I mean, I don't know how we got on this subject, but that's
it. You should let Planned Parenthood know about that tactic.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So you know, Dan, the title of today's show is Trouble.
Another
Day in Paradise. Not Trouble in Paradise. Right. Yeah. Dan and I have. Katie tried. She did her best. She tried.
Just having a sip of my tea.
Dan and I have had multiple discussions back at the office about how different life would be if science and medicine was actually focused on finding solutions to problems, right? And really investigating things that we could learn about to make people healthier and stronger and to prevent disease. If that was actually the focus of science and medicine, as opposed to massive profits at the expense of the process, it could be literally almost paradise here on Earth right now for the whole world, for everyone in the world. But instead, we have a system that is so corrupt because it's got people that have no fear of God. They want money and power for themselves, and they couldn't care less about it. In other words, psychopaths. Mm-hmm. In other words, Tony Fauci. In other words, what's the guy? Zuckerberg and Gates and all those people who really are.
I know that you're a religious person. I'm not so much. But I think that, yeah, there could be paradise on Earth if we were to eliminate one thing, greed.
Yeah. It's a big word.
Yeah, greed is big, but it's not the only thing, right? I mean, what about, there are people that are, so what do you do with sadists? I mean, they're not, they might not have any, might not care about money. They just like hurting other people.
Yeah, well, they're far and in between, where I think the majority of everything is greed. But wait, we're already getting long here. Right, I know that. Right. I know. Yeah, no, we'll save that for another show.
For another time.
But actually, we should start a podcast. Maybe just me and you. We can go back and forth about these things.
We could do that. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't say anything else. We'll save it.
No, I'm Katie's, but over there going, oh my gosh, another show.
You'll be in school.
You guys, thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
I look so much forward to Tuesdays, and we want to give a big shout out for bringing you the Great Reset today to Executive Properties.
Our team of professionals at Executive Properties Construction have over 30 years of experience. We pride ourselves on doing quality work at a reasonable rate for our customers. Just check out what past customers have said in our amazing Google reviews. Then contact us today to get started on a bid for your next project. You can call us at 701-330-1273 or email info@executiveproperties.org. And check it out. We're hiring. We're building our new team for snow removal for this upcoming season. Contact Jess for more info at jess@executiveproperties.org.
All right, and thanks to Executive Properties, and thanks to all of our sponsors today. Another Day in Paradise, a Great Reset with Executive Director David Waterman and Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislavski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. They will be back a week from today, next Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Hey, tomorrow we talk with Schreiner Victor Mesa about the Fill the Fez fundraiser that's coming up. Tell you what, everybody, enjoy your day. Make it a good one. And remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. Become a patron on Podbean. Could win some pretty good stuff, all right? Hey, we all love Grand Forks. It's a great place. Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.